Well, welcome to the Situation Report for October 8th, 2024. Little battle hymn of the Republic. And that was done by the United States Army Band, which was fitting for today. I guess I needed to remind everybody of who we are. Sometimes you have to go back to your roots and play something that people actually identify with. And that version's like 7-8 minutes long. But Always appropriate. Always appropriate. That's all I can say. Well, I've never been more glad to be wrong in all of my life, and glad that the dates that we were hearing were nothing burgers. It's good to see that there was no major attacks on our soil, even though FEMA is supposedly prepping for, you know, mall style attacks. We'll see if it actually comes to pass. But the 7th was supposed to be a let's just say the 7th was supposed to be a high energy day. Came and went. There was an attack. It was on a water system in New Jersey, but that actually happened on the 3rd. Didn't happen yesterday. So, and today is Muhammad's birthday, so I figured there would be something in there. And evidently, everything that we were seeing is overseas, which is interesting. But it's looking more and more like we actually may make it to the election. We may make it to Election Day. But I should remind everybody that there's a lot of time between now and then. And look, I would love to get through the election and to deal with the civil discourse that's going to come out of that, because nobody's going to buy the election, period. No one's going to buy the results. No one's going to believe that Harris won. Everybody's going to say there's cheating, because there is. Every day here in Arizona, it seems like there's a new story about how the Secretary of State has done some nefarious thing to add more voters to the voter rolls, to taint the voter rolls, to, I mean, you name it. Every time anybody that goes in to get an ID card or driver's license is registered to vote by mail. I can't think of any more malfeasance than that. And if we get to Election Day and you can vote, I would say go vote, because this will be our last hurrah before we are totally ungovernable. And over the weekend, I had several calls from, by the way, shout out to Chris for going into North Carolina and actually trying to help. Talk to him on Saturday, and it was interesting because Saturday I got a lot of phone calls, literally a lot of phone calls. People wanted me to go help out down there, and a lot of affluent people mobilizing and sending money and supplies down in North Carolina. And there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation about what's going on the ground there. So, well, I'll start with the things I know. I know that FEMA is not helping. I know that the National Guard is not mobilized in any fashion that is coherent. I know that there are several stories about National Guard confiscating supplies, FEMA confiscating supplies. I don't know how much of that is true. I do know I got a call from two different people on Saturday to go and help out. And the only reason I didn't go was nobody had a contact on the ground that was actually authorized to be there. And before you go into that area, you want to have positive contact with somebody that's on the ground that is authorized to operate and can actually do stuff. Otherwise, they look at you like you're a looter, especially like 4 to 5 days after. And if you're rolling in there, you don't want to be rolling in there heavy, because they will think you're a looter. And then there's a host of different groups operating in those areas. And you don't know if they're private security, if they're special forces, you don't know what they are. And if you're approached by people and you don't have a legitimate answer, you're going to walk into a host of problems, and trouble will find you. So the key thing to remember is to have positive contact with somebody on the ground that's actually authorized to be there. And if you can help out, great, go help out. Now, the situation with the newest storm that's headed towards Tampa, literally overnight, it went from a Category 2 to a Category 5, which, you know, there's folks that are in that area. I don't know if they're going to get hit or not, but it sure ginned up a host of conversations about weather manipulation, HARP. I'm just going to say this about HARP. I don't know if it exists. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's weather manipulation, but I know what they spray here every day. And I know the chemicals that Kristen Megan has talked about that they're putting into the atmosphere. And anything's possible at this point. Do I think that they can control the weather? No. No, I don't. Do I think they can manipulate the weather? Absolutely. Do I think they can enhance weather patterns? Absolutely. Do I know to what extent? No, I do not. And I kind of right now, I don't really care. Because if I'm looking at how this is developing so that they can declare a climate emergency. That's what they're talking about. And the rhetoric that's coming out of both the EU and out of the left is all about, we have to censor people because there's so much misinformation about hurricane relief and FEMA. We have to censor people. You see the game? They're not worried about censoring you. They're worried about the truth coming out. And look, if they declare a climate emergency, if they declare any kind of martial law, they know it's civil war. And I'm not even going to say it's civil war. I'm going to say it's a revolution. Because this will be the second American Revolution. And I had a bunch of message traffic over the weekend about 10 million new foreigners being shipped into the country. What are we going to do about that? We can't do anything about it right now. So at the end of the day, we're going to fight the fight we have in front of us. We're not going to be able to shape the battlefield. We're not going to be able to manipulate the situation. We're going to have to fight the fight in front of us. Somebody asked me again this weekend, sir, what are your orders? Here are my orders. Organize. Make human connections. Get outside of your local area and start meeting people. Figure out what's in your local area. Figure out who's in your local area. Do a terrain walk, meaning drive around. Because somebody asked me, I had probably 10 people ask me about bug out. What if you don't have a bug out? Well, then you start to build relationships around you because you're going to have numbers, regardless of how this plays out. There's going to have to be numbers. And look, don't assume just because folks have been brought into your area that they're going to stay if hostilities start. Most of these people that have been shipped up across the border, when they run out of money, they're going to start moving again. And some of them will go native. Some of them will stay here. Some of them want to be here and to be Americans. So you can't assume that one race or one culture is going to stay the same. Some of these cultures will. But the reality is we don't know how this is going to play out. And I'm seeing a bunch of lines of operation all happening all at once. And look, I was relieved yesterday that the kinetic didn't start. And the other side of the coin is a lot of these dates and times that they're throwing out, I believe part of it is to create fatigue across all of the society so that people ignore it. And then when the attack really happens, there's more shock and awe. So it could be one of two different things. But at the end of the day, you still need to be prepared. You still need to be paying attention to your surroundings. You still need to be using your gear. And I spent, I don't know, most of Saturday or Sunday working on my truck and going through radios, using radios. I mean, there's a myriad of things you can be doing right now. There's a myriad of things that will help you get prepared, or at least be more prepared. And that's where you should be focusing your efforts. I reached out to a couple of different groups today that had previously reached out to me and we weren't able to connect. And I connected with one of them and I'll connect with the other one tomorrow. But the point is to start making these connections. That's the best thing you can do for yourself. And look, I know there's a, you know, wide gap in ages here from 70 all the way down to 20. The point is do something. That's the point. And, you know, I don't really get hung up on dates, especially when I'm, you know, when I'm planning for things. But yesterday I basically took the day off because I wanted to see how things were going to develop. And the reason why I didn't do a sit rep last night was I wanted to see if anything happened today. Because I figured if it was going to happen, it was going to happen today. And pretty much nothing burger. So I'm actually very relieved. Can't say that enough. The other thing that's going on is you're seeing, I'm watching the mainstream media and they are just doubling down on trying to make Harris look presidential. And I got a flurry of message traffic this afternoon after some, I guess she was on The View, and then everybody piled onto that. This is all I'm going to say about the situation related to the election. No one is going to change their vote at this point. If you weren't going to vote for Harris to begin with, you're not going to vote for her now. If you were going to vote for Trump prior to this, you're still going to vote for Trump. If you hated Trump prior to this, you're still going to hate Trump no matter what. The lines have already been drawn. Where the rubber meets the road is going to be how many people show up to the election. And this is something that you'll hear from anybody that's involved in the political process. You show up and vote no matter what, because if there's an overwhelming landslide of people to show up, and we know they're going to cheat, we know they've stacked the voter rolls, we know the machines are compromised, we know that the politicians running the show in the swing states are compromised. That's not the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise is to show up and do that one last measure of, let's just say, civic duty before we take the fucking gloves off. And if we get to that point, which I still don't believe we will, if we get to that point, then I guarantee you after that, if they fuck with the election, I will take the gloves off. It will be game the fuck on. And that's how you should feel. You know, most people are going to be disenfranchised anyway, because they want to disenfranchise you, they want to demoralize you, and they want to make you feel like no matter what you do, they're going to win. The elite are not as strong as you think they are. And, you know, I've heard this back and forth about how deathly afraid they are if Trump takes office, that the Epstein list is going to be disclosed and people are going to get rolled up. You're goddamn right, people are going to get rolled up. And I'll tell you why they're going to get rolled up, because the public is going to demand it. It's not going to be another one of these, well, we'll get them next time. No. The public will be completely ungovernable if the same nonsense starts this time after this election and Trump somehow gets into office, which I don't think he will. The point is, we have to be completely ungovernable. Because this is not going to end well for anybody. They're going to do all they can do to cheat and to install camel toe into office. So just look at it for what it is. And at the end of the day, we're not going to take our country back unless we stand up. And really the question is, okay, at what point do we stand up? We stand up after they steal this election. And we start our states, our local areas, and we work our way up to the national level. That's how this will go. And, you know, I see open sedition on TV by all these different fucking politicians in DC. And I see mainstream media complicit with the sedition. Far as I'm concerned, sedition is sedition. I don't care who you are. If you're calling for the death of a former president, guess what? That's still treason. And we're in the place now where we need to stop. We need to stop calling things what they're not and call them what they are. Mayorkas is a fucking traitor. He is architecting this migration. He's worked with IMO. He used to run IMO. He was put in position to do exactly what he's doing, to destroy the national security of this country. Somebody calls him incompetent, it just pisses me off. That guy is a fucking traitor. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly why he's doing it. And he's going to be held account when this is all over. Stop calling him incompetent. These people know exactly what they're doing. It's like Mike Johnson. People say he's weak. No, he's compromised, which means he's a traitor as well. Just like the mainstream media. These people are complicit in sedition. They are traitors. Call them what they are. This is what got us here. We talked around so many different social issues because of political correctness, because of all the different societal communist injections that have gone into our society over the last 40 years. I mean, I listen to Hillary Clinton today, and I'm like, she's just not even hiding the fact she's a Bolshevik. You know, back in 96, I called her a Bolshevik, and I thought I was going to get court-martialed for it. And now it turns out it was fucking true. And I sit and listen to these people talk. And by the way, it should make your blood boil that you tune when you get into Twitter's the worst for it, too. So Elon Musk talks about how Twitter's the freest platform out there. Go out to the two different tabs on your feed. If you hit the following tab, you get stuff that you actually want to see. If you hit the For You tab, every bit of it, and I mean every bit of it, is left-wing nonsense. I don't see anything in my feed that for you that I actually want to see. It's all MSNBC, Kamala Harris's party. It's all nonsense. It's all curated nonsense. And at some point, people need to wake up and realize that they're being fed a bunch of garbage by all these oligarchs. And I don't know if you saw what Trump was doing, but praying over some Jewish temple in New York. Guy sure is starting to look like the Antichrist. At least it's looking like he's trying to be positioned for that. Man, unbelievable. I sat and watched this stuff and I just shake my head because people have made him into a messiah and he's not. And if you read Revelation, you'll see that Revelation talks about the Antichrist and how the Antichrist is positioned. And no matter what you believe, you should be looking at him with suspect eyes. I'm going to go back to the assassination attempt. There are three things that do not sit right. First, there was no pictures of the injury. Second, there was no briefing by any doctors after that event. And third, and most importantly, he showed up on Monday with that MyPillow shit on his ear. There's not one bit of that makes any sense to me. That's not how that works. When Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr., you could not turn the channel without some kind of a briefing about the president's condition, and they replayed the same briefings, and they came in every couple hours and talked about where he was shot, how he was recovering, you know, where the bullet was. It was a big deal. You're telling me that Trump gets shot on a stage for all the world to see, and nobody wants to talk about the injury and his health. Because the first thing the public wants to know is the guy hurt? Is he hurt more than it appeared on stage? And instead, crickets. And then he shows up at the convention on Monday. And the convention was Make Israel Great Again. I don't know about you, but I don't give a fuck about Israel. In fact, I'm sick of the whole Israel-Jewish narrative. I'm so sick of it. Because all you hear is how they're the victims, how they're oppressed. They were running a fucking open-air prison in Gaza for how many years? And they're the victims? Get the fuck out of here with that. You tell I had one of those conversations today, too? Somebody calling me, telling me we need to do whatever we need to do for Israel? We need to help people right here. We need to help people in our country first before we ship any more money overseas for wars and for allies. I'm sick of people saying that we need to go fight somebody else's war. In fact, for all you fucking retards that want to call me and tell me who we need to support, go put on a fucking uniform, volunteer to fight, and go over there and fight. Stop talking about it and post your stupid memes. Get off your ass and go fight. If it's that important for you to support Ukraine or Israel, then go over there and fight for them. My God, the stupidity in those conversations is palpable. It's retarded how people are so dialed into the narrative that they can't hear or see anything. You want to scream, wake the fuck up, but they won't wake up. Just too wrapped up this whole Ukraine narrative. People still think that Russia is going to push all the way through to Europe. And here's my question. Why would that be a bad thing at this point? I mean, Europeans are being forced to literally register all of their livestock and all of their chickens, all of their food sources. That's only about one thing. It's about fucking control. You would think that people would wake up and say, no, we're not going to do that. Instead, they're all just marching in tune right into the fucking gas chamber, right into the famine. That's the caliber of conversations all weekend long. And at the same time, you have people that are so entrenched in the fact that Trump's going to save them, they can't hear a goddamn word otherwise. So, like I said, I'm glad nothing happened, but I am ready for things to kick off. Because this endless waiting and watching these lemmings. I mean, a guy I used to work with was texting me yesterday saying, you know, it's amazing how stupid people are. I'm on the phone with probably 50 executives and they're all talking about getting their COVID boosters. You can't fix that. And to be perfectly honest, fuck them. You want to go get 15 more boosters? Knock yourself out. Because you'll do the world a favor. You'll be gone. I mean, your body's still going to be, you know, pinging an IP address after you, long after you're dead and you're in the ground. But hey, you know, go ahead, get your boosters. You know, I'm sorry to say that, you know, and I did Sean Newman's podcast. I think I posted it to both Twitter and to True Social. I think I put it on Telegram, too. And one of the comments was, this is the most black-pilled person in the world. Hey, I'm calling it like I see it. You know, if you don't think something's wrong right now, you have completely missed the boat. Because the economy's in a shambles. Everything you see, literally everything you see on TV is a lie. I'm shocked every day when somebody wants to argue with me over some fact that was published by the mainstream media. That's a complete lie. It's the gaslighting is unbelievable. But what's even more unbelievable is people doing yeoman's work to try and normalize everything. Is everything will work out. It'll just level out. The pendulum always swings the other way. Don't worry about it. Trump will come back. completely oblivious to the fact that none of the legislatures have done anything since 2020 to fix the election system. They have consistently used lawfare in every state to go after any kind of accountability in the voting system. In fact, Mark Elias has posted so many different court cases just in the last 10 days. I'm surprised the guy's still breathing. He has literally tainted all of the election systems in every swing state, and nobody's called it out, even here in Arizona. And it's amazing to me that politicians are not saying anything about it. And by the way, most of the cases here in Arizona that were criminal cases against people that were going after the election, most of those have been thrown out now. I think there's still a few going, but most have been thrown out. It's all fear and intimidation. When you figure that out and you stop being scared, you're going to see the world differently. You're going to see the world as it is. And you're going to stop caring about what happens. You're going to start caring about what you're going to do when it does happen. And most people spend all their time. I literally talked to somebody that I served with in a combat zone last week. And I'm still shaking my head over this conversation because the guy, his whole life is consumed by fear. I'm like, dude, you were in a combat zone. You got 80 to 100 mortars dropped on your head every single day. And you're worried about Trump coming back. You're worried about Harris taking over. What the hell is wrong with you? People are worried about the economy collapsing. They're worried about weather weapons. I mean, all I got to say, just bring the alien invasion. Let's just do it. Let's get on with it. You got nothing to be scared of. Nothing to be scared of. We were all put on this planet for this time period, right now. I don't know why we are. I don't know why all of us are in different stages of life, but we're all here for a reason. For this reason, to be here now. And if it's the 4 or 5% of the population that turns everything around, then so be it. But you got to lose the fear. Fear's not going to help you any. And look, all of us get nervous about running out of money. We all get nervous about losing our homes. We all get nervous about, you know, something happening to our kids or our family. But at the end of the day, what matters is that you don't live in that fear. It's one thing to be nervous, one thing to have anxiety. It's another thing to live your life in it. And there's nothing you can do about it anyway. You know, I finally heard somebody today talk about the elite and what they're trying to do. Literally, the banking elite across the planet are working to establish regional economic zones. It's in the UN 2030 agenda. They don't want nation states. They want to create conditions to where nation states don't exist and oligarchs run the world. Whoever sold that bill of goods to the elite and to the establishment, they have been sold a bill of goods, because that is never going to happen. It's never going to be a thing where the entire population of the planet is subservient to a bunch of pedophiles in Europe. I don't know why people are so wrapped up in money. Money is a construct. In fact, a dollar bill is a piece of paper. The only reason it has value is because we as a society have attached value to it. It doesn't have any intrinsic value. It's a piece of fucking paper. And think about how much that piece of paper corrupts people to the point where they're unrecognizable from somebody you grew up with. It's all a construct. And when you realize it's all a construct, you will stop living your life in fear. Everything they've created here, everything from Hollywood, from radio, from television, even to the military, is a construct. The budget, the economy, it's all a construct. Currency, construct. There's not one part of it. Even gold is a construct. We've assigned value to gold. But does gold change in value? Not really. But we've assigned value to it. Once you see the world that way, stop playing the game. Stop living your life in the fear they want you to live in. There's two certainties in this life. You're going to be born and you're going to die. Those are the only two certainties you have. Everything else is open for interpretation and negotiation. You know, Ben Davidson's talking about the pole shift. You got other people talking about climate change. You got other people talking about global warming. You got an entire community talking about aliens and disclosure. What I see right now is I see a bunch of oligarchs in a dick-waving contest, but they're all in the same club. They're all betting against the population. None of them give a shit about the average Joe. They all think you're whale shit. This is just a fight among the elite. And why do I say that? Because if you watch that interview with Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk, where they're talking about the Epstein list, why now? And why does Elon Musk know who's on that list? And why are they disclosing that right now? They're talking about the elite on the left being afraid of Trump coming back and disclosing the Epstein list. Everybody already knows who's on that list. Everybody already knows that Clinton made that trip 27 times. Bill Gates made it almost half a dozen times. You only go down there for one thing, to have sex with underage children. So somebody explain to me why now. I'll tell you why. Because they're trying to make you think that they're in a different group or a different class, but they're all in the same group. They're all in the same clan. They're all in the same club. It's all a construct. All of it. I don't trust Elon Musk any farther than I could throw that guy. And his whole awkward mega dance that he did on stage the other day that everybody made fun of. Like, first of all, the guy owns the biggest satellite network that rings the planet and controls every bit of internet to the modern free world. Secondly, he's the biggest defense contractor in the world. Thirdly, he bought Twitter in a fashion that would land most people in prison. You don't do public disclosure of stock price or of negotiating price. You don't do any of that in the public space when you're doing an acquisition. Because the SEC, the SEC, the FCC, all of those commissions, all of those agencies will get involved and prosecute you. In fact, you don't say anything about an acquisition until it's approved by the Securities Exchange Commission. And even then, you don't do it until the ink's dry and the deal is done. The entire Twitter acquisition was done in the public space to include the fact that he outed that there was FBI, CIA, NSA, and DHS personnel that were on the payroll and that they were openly collaborating with the government and that Twitter was an offshoot of a government program, just like Oracle was, just like Facebook was. But yet, did he ever dox anybody? Did he ever out anybody in the organization? No. And then what did he do? He hired a flaming liberal asshole for the CEO. Tell me that guy is the savior of free speech and now he's a mega guy? You've been sold a bill of goods. It's all a lie. It's all a construct. Just go watch some of the posts that his daughter does. I mean, she all but calls him a flat out liar. He's a serial adulterer. He's having kids with so many different women. He can't regulate his behavior. He's a racist. I mean, you could go down. She's going down by the numbers, talking about what a douche canoe this guy is. And then you hear all these people talking about he's the savior of free speech. I mean, BioClandestine spends all his time on his knees blowing Elon Musk, so he can't see anything. Goo gobbler. My God. The reason why I'm cynical about most of this is I watched all of this apparatus in action when I was in Iraq and at the Pentagon. I watched all this shit real time. I used to sit and watch Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney argue about whatever the fuck they were arguing about. It was all just a dick waving contest. None of it had anything to do with what was good for the American people or the Iraqi people. It was all about their own self-interest. That's who's running the entire planet, is a bunch of narcissistic assholes. They're all in the same club. They're feeding you a bunch of BS in every facet of your life. And if you think any of it's real, you've been sorely, sorely sold down the river. And it's unfortunate because some people are just naive and stupid. And that's not being blackpilled. That is literally seeing the situation for what it is. There's not one source of truth on this planet right now. Not one. And everybody's fighting for the same information to figure out what's real and what's not real. So if you buy into any of these narratives wholeheartedly, I guarantee you're going to be let down on the other end. And we had a conversation, my admins and I had a conversation about the whole Q crowd over the weekend. And during the Russian Revolution, they literally had a group of people that were used to keep the population from taking to the streets. And they used the same slogan, trust the plan. Go look it up. It's a thing. It's real. They're doing the exact same. They're playing out the exact same playbook. They haven't changed the script at all. The script is exactly the same. First, they want to censor you. Then they want to disarm you. Then they want to starve you. Then they want complete control. The question you have to ask yourself, there's only one question. When do you pick up a rifle and fight? Right now, we're still in the information war. But I guarantee you, after the election, it is going to be a kinetic war. But it won't be battle lines and a forward edge of a battle area and everybody wearing uniforms. It won't be that kind of kinetic. It's going to be like a street fight in a phone booth. And that's why we've been harping on being situationally aware, using your gear, being way outside your comfort zone and making human connections. Because that's when it's going to come into play. Nobody knows what this is going to look like. Nobody knows what the catalyst is going to be for all this to fall apart. But at some point, this is going to fall apart. And when it does, you're going to see parts of our society implode because people will not be able to handle the ambiguity. People can handle a lot of stress, but they can't handle ambiguity at all. And it's, you know, it's funny when I have conversations with people that are convinced that certain things are going to take place. I'm not convinced of anything. I'm not convinced that the warnings we're hearing are legitimate. I'm not convinced that these 10, you know, 40 million military age males that are brought in this country are going to be. It could be very innocuous. They could be just bringing people in just so we get their vote and they know that they're going to bring their families over at some point and change the demographics here. It could be that simple. The honest truth is we don't know. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what people are going to, you know, which people are really running the show. We don't know what the ultimate agenda is. The UN Charter 2030, okay, so the UN 2030 agenda, that's the script. But what's the end state they want? Slavery? I just don't see people signing up for that. At least not enough. So anyway, the last thing that I wanted to talk to you tonight is you're going to see more about this replicator mRNA because I think it's going to be approved in Japan within days. Masako sent me something this morning about it that somebody actually said it was safe. I was shocked that, yeah. Executives say that the replicator mRNA is safer because it doesn't rely on the same RNA messengers that the COVID jab did. why would anybody take these guys seriously after COVID? It boggles my mind, but it shows you how Big Pharma still has a lot of money and a lot of control over the establishment. So watch for the replicator mRNA. That's going to be a game changer because it's going to spread everything lightning fast. They were looking for a delivery system. They probably found it. Why they're starting in Japan is because Japan's probably the most docile population on the planet. And they will put up with way more than most other cultures will. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like. I can tell you that the next few weeks are going to be busy. You're going to see a very, very high news cycle. But you got to question everything. You can't look at things and accept anything at face value, because nothing at face value is real, not one thing. And I'll keep pushing out the warnings as we hear them. I'll keep pushing out the things we hear. And hopefully we'll get to the election. I still don't think we will. I really don't. But there's three scenarios that are plausible. Which one we end up with, or a hybrid of all three, all of it's possible. So I'll be back tomorrow night. Not sure who I'm going to be with tomorrow night. Nobody's confirmed, and given the storm situation, that may throw things off. So we'll see. I am probably going to go back on Sean Newman in probably 2-3 weeks. He wants me to be on with Dave Cullen. So we'll see which way that goes. And last but not least, somebody asked me about the shirts. I post the t-shirt link for Spreadshop. I post that in the description box every show now, along with how to get to Substack, how to get to me. I'm trying to do daily updates on Substack. So a daily sit rep with 2 to 3 minute just overview of what's going on. Trying to do that every day. Didn't get a chance to do it today. I was busy all day. But look for those and look for the t-shirts. I think I added 10 more last week. Yeah, 10 more. So remember, we're in an information war right now. We are not in a kinetic war. And question everything, absolutely everything. Take nothing at face value. And most importantly, make human connections, especially over the next several weeks. God bless everyone. We'll see you tomorrow night. One team, one fight.